Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. So beautiful to see your waves and your smiling faces. There's so many of them. We have to flip between the screens. I heard there's about 137 of us in the Zoom room today. So you're going to be very, very grateful because Jesus has been swirling all day inside my heart. And some of the stuff that he's been saying to me, I'm like, oh my gosh. You want me to say that on the air, on the internet? This is really quite a profound experience we're going to have this weekend. And you know, when Jesus came to earth with this beautiful message of salvation and happiness and joy and peace and gentleness 2,000 years ago, what he had to share was so deep and was so profound that basically he had to do most of his teachings in parables. The Holy Spirit gave him parables to share because the teachings were so otherworldly. They were so beyond what this time-space world had heard ever before, or I would say since. We haven't really heard the depth of that teaching, the full depth of it, since Jesus seemed to appear and he seemed to transmit these teachings from heaven and from absolute perfect oneness. And in the many centuries that have come after that, there's so many amazing religions. There's beautiful non-dual pathways to God, and certainly I have come across many of them, but with A Course in Miracles, we have really, you might say, almost the complete package of everything, the full transmission and the most direct pathway to God I have ever come across. And so in the time of Jesus, he basically put the teachings in parables. You know, there was a man who had two sons, and then he tells the prodigal son story. And it was a beautiful sharing because he was basically teaching with the prodigal son parable that you, no matter what you think you've done in time and space, you will be welcomed home to eternal love and eternal oneness no matter what you think you've done, no matter what you've done as you judge it, good or bad, right or wrong. You have a heavenly birthright and your reality is eternity, and you are not really a creature of time and space, but you are a spirit, the living Christ that is a creation of God. And so today, I'm going to do both sessions. I'm going to do the morning session and the afternoon session, or depending on where you are in the world, it's more than morning and afternoon. I'm going to do two sessions with a kind of a lunch or a dinner or a rest break in between from the end of the first session, and then we'll take a couple hours break and we'll zoom right in. And I'm going to use a teaching device to go along with my teachings in terms of the words. I'm going to play a parable for you. I'm going to play a movie, and I'm going to set it up, and I'm going to go through the movie with you. And I know if I could hear what all your hearts are saying is, please, even if it's deep, even if it's deeper than I've ever heard before on this planet, please give me lots of practical examples so I can relate to it. Please give me a teaching that I can apply in my daily life, moment by moment, with whoever is around me, with whatever situations I'm facing in time and space. Please, please, please give me something practical. Give me lots of practical examples. Help me get this. Help me really experience what Jesus is talking about, because I want to know my Creator in eternity. I want to know myself as I really am, not this human fleshy creature that seems to be like a fly stuck in glue in time and space, in linear time. Many of us have done many rituals. We've done many practices. We've done meditations. We've done all kinds of things that we would call spiritual, and yet there still seems to be a struggle. There still seems to be facing issues that come up on a daily basis. And it's like, wow, after all the practices, even the practices of A Course in Miracles, some of you have done the workbook maybe once or maybe more than once, and you still face struggle. So today is going to be a huge time saver. If you can hear what I'm talking about, and if you can see it in the parables and see it demonstrated, your mind will take off towards eternity in such a fast way that you will save thousands of years. So I remember Krishnamurti. I always adored Krishnamurti, and he would let these deep teachings come through him from the Spirit, and he would always have these sparkly eyes, and he would say, "Are you with me? Are you with me?" Like saying, "Please hang with me here. This is going to be deeper than deep. I don't think you'll ever experience anything this deep." But I want it to be practical. I want you tomorrow, when Francis and I come and we open it up for all your questions and experiences, I want you to be able to let the bliss come through you that you experienced today. And I want to hear you answer your own questions, maybe questions you've had for 30, 40, 50 years, and suddenly, boom, 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 the insights start to flash in your mind as you start to have experiences that take you beyond the questions. They just, beyond the questioning mind is a soaring experience. And I want all of us to go into that. I even have a couple songs that Jesus has had me listening to, because it's coming above the battleground. It's coming off the timeline. It's coming deep into this light experience of who you really are. And there are no words for it. But today, I'm letting Jesus use the body of David to give us the words and give us the prayers and play us the songs and whatever we need to use this parable to open our hearts up and to feel the love in so deep of an experience that you'll just be looking around your room and out your window and just falling in love with everything and everyone like you've never done before. A love that doesn't have an opposite, a love that is so vibrant and so present that you can you can see the holographic universe. You can literally see with the vision of Christ. You can look at anything, a blade of grass, an ant, a cloud, a mountain, and you can feel this bursting love that transcends time and space. This is what A Course in Miracles is pointing to. Now, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus uses some uncompromising phrases. And last night, I'm glad that Vivian raised the question about, can you explain compromise and uncompromising? What's the difference? And Francis so beautifully pointed out that these words that Vivian brought up, compromise and uncompromising, are in A Course in Miracles. In fact, Jesus even says in the later part of the text, in the Beyond All Idols section, I believe, he says, salvation is no compromise of any kind. So what we perceive as our human lives really is a projection of a compromise attempt in our mind to be something that we're not. To believe in the ego is a compromise. If you're the Christ and you believe in an ego death wish, that's a compromise. That's a compromise of identity on a scale that's so huge, it's unfathomable. To be the living Christ, to be an eternal creation, as Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before time and space were, I am. The Christ presence is prior to time. And to believe in the ego and to believe in time and space, linear time, and these fleshy bodies, you know, that is the most unfathomable compromise of identity that is possible. To believe you're human instead of divine, to believe you're a time creature instead of eternal, that is, again, a compromise of unfathomable degree. And so I'm going to try to help you bridge the gap today where you're going to be willing to let go of everything you think you think and every single thing you think you believe to go on a journey toward the light. And it won't be surprising to me tomorrow if some of you talk to me about your mystical experiences or you have amazing dreams tonight, because your mind is ready to be activated toward the light in a way. That's why there's 137 of us on this online retreat, because we got one purpose that's shining bright underneath all of these characters, and that is to wake up. Today we're going to show Mr. Nobody. And this is a quantum movie. You are not used to watching movies like this, because most movies you watch, they have a beginning and a middle and an end. You know, most movies, you're used to watching movies in which there's a linear progression from beginning to end. It's all right if the director decides to do some flashbacks, because you still have a context. Oh yeah, he's flashing back to a previous memory in his life. But they're very linear movies. They go from beginning to middle to end. And all of our fairy tales go from beginning to middle to end. All of our parables, all of our novels, all of our stories, the way we perceive ourselves in this world is very much part of a temporal linear progression of time moving from past to present to future. In fact, when you start watching some quantum movies, usually you need some really strong commentary from the spirit to help you out, because it feels like you're swimming in something that's very unfamiliar. It breaks the rules of movies. So that's why I'm going to be with you on this journey through this movie, Mr. Nobody, because I think you might get lost in the first 10 minutes. And just, this is the kind of movie you might, without commentary, you may just turn it off after 10 minutes and go, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. But it's not. Jesus loves this movie. He adores this movie. I'll tell you, I've shown hundreds, thousands of movies in my lifetime, and Jesus adores this movie. That's why I think he's picked this movie for Beyond the Body Retreat. He's smiling. He's like, oh, this is so cool. This is This is one of my favorite, you can't even call it a parable, because it's so quantum that it's just spectacular. So what I will say is that everyone who is watching this world and watching the movies of this world has a self-concept that is based on the belief in linear time. And in a workbook of A Course in Miracles, Jesus says early on in pretty much some of the early lessons, he's saying, you need new time ideas. Because why do I need new time ideas? Can't I just learn how to forgive my brothers and sisters? And he's like, actually, all of your beliefs about who you are in this world and who they are, your brothers and sisters, are all based on linear time. And eternity is way, way, way beyond linear time. It's so far beyond linear time that you will be bound to misinterpret forgive. And that's why for the last 2,000 years, human beings have been trying to forgive, like Jesus taught, and having a lot of difficulty, sometimes not a lot of success at forgiving. The humans can seem to accomplish things in time and space, but forgive, whoa, that's like on another level. It's like, be happy all the time, be peaceful all the time, be joyful all the time. Are you kidding me? Is that a realistic goal for my life, to find eternal happiness and have a state of mind that is so consistent and so steady that not one image of time and space can shake that peace of mind? Like Jesus had, he had such a peace of mind that his body was on the cross and he still was, forgive them for they know not what they do. Yeah, you really have to have a very high state of mind to say that when there's nails stuck through your arms and your legs. That's a state of mind. Talk about a transcendent state of mind. Forgive them for they know not what they do from the cross, he says, in that state of mind. Well, I'm going to show you the direct pathway to that state of mind. I have a happy life. I have a joyful life. I don't struggle with anything. I have a la-la-la-la-la life, but I really don't see the world in linear terms anymore. So that's why I say sometimes I seem to have spiritual dementia, where I pour a glass of iced tea and then I'm off meditating or watching a movie or listening to music or talking to somebody on the phone, and then I go, oh yeah, where's that iced tea? I completely blank out on some aspects of like pouring the iced tea. I get so into the light that I'm like, did I miss a sequence there? Oh yeah, the tea got poured in the kitchen. Oh yeah, there it is, it's still in the kitchen. It hasn't left. My mind got onto something else more joyful than the tea. And so I have to go back and rescue the tea from the kitchen if I'm going to drink it. And I want you to feel that feeling. Also, with movies, you know, that have a linear progression, you know, most of us are used to looper movies. We love looper movies. I love looper movies. I love Groundhog Day. I like stories of going back into the past, like The 13th Floor. I like Before I Fall is another spectacular movie. There's so many great looper movies, and I just showed one on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I showed one on Wednesday here in this hemisphere or this area of the world. Then I showed another one. It was in Europe, and then with commentary, and then also Espanol for Latin America. But it was kind of a time movie called 222, where there was all these sequences and images, and it was like a finding what's going on, what are all these patterns about. So it wasn't quite a looper movie. Now, today's movie I'm going to show you is not a looper movie. It's better. It's even better than a looper movie. You know, some of us like looper movies because they show us so much, you know, like our patterns are Groundhog Day shows all of the patterns of time and space with Phil. He's looping around. We see him do it every day. And we love that. But this one's much better than Looper Movie. Jesus likes this one even better because this one is quantum. This one is taking your mind towards an experience that time is not linear and you don't loop in time in terms of reincarnation, like reincarnating after one lifetime, into another and yet another and yet another, or going back like past life regressions. There's some really good past life regression movies too. And there's some great Looper movies and like reincarnation movies like Orlando. If some of you have never seen Orlando, it's a spectacular movie. Or the Wachowski brothers, you know, they made a kind of a reincarnation movie, but actually this is a quantum movie. And if you like this movie, then you, and you, maybe it's a little bit too steep, you might take one notch down and watch a movie like Next with Nicolas Cage. If you watch that one with my commentary, that's got a little bit of linearity in it, but it starts to touch on the teachings about hypothetical thinking. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. That's what I'm going to use the movie for, to talk about hypothetical thinking. What is hypothetical thinking? And is this in the Course? Well, Jesus has given me this way of looking at hypotheticals and hypothetical thinking in a way that he's saying this is where everything originates. All of your issues and problems come from just one belief, and it's called hypothetical thinking. Hypothetical thinking seems to generate an illusion of linear time in which events happen in sequential nature, from one followed by another, by another, by another, by another. We're so used to it, it's like a fish in water. You know, if you went and you could interview like a sea bass, and you had a microphone, you were interviewing a sea bass, and you said, "Tell us about the water," the sea bass would go, "What? What are you talking about?" Because all it knows is the water. You know, it's not a land creature. It doesn't know anything about time and space. Basically, it's just a water creature that knows just water. And if you ask the sea bass, "Tell us about the water," it would say, "What does that even mean?" You know, that's part of who I am. And the same with human beings. When you ask human beings about their life, they typically talk about their stories and their memories and their future ambitions and their future goals, right? That's what you hear. You ask a human being, "Tell me about yourself," and they don't go, "I am the eternal Christ at one with God." They don't talk like Yogananda, who did talk like that. I am one with the Lord. You know, he was actually in a state of mind that was so joined with the Lord that he could say, "I am Paramahansa Yogananda. Today, pray with me." You know, he would speak like that. Because why? Because he was so lit up by this divine presence that he was actually in that state of mind. And then when his body seemed to pass away, it stayed in a state of non-decay for weeks because his state of mind was in such a state of non-decay. So Paramahansa Yogananda's body, you know, did not deteriorate like human bodies typically do in fragmented consciousness. This was more holistic consciousness, holistic awareness. So what hypothetical thinking is the belief that there are all these scenarios that we would call situations or lifetimes or circumstances, but these situations and lifetimes and circumstances, these scenes, we'll call them scenes of time and space, they're all as if, they're all hypothetical. Like if you were talking to somebody and you say, "Well, I'm going to watch this segment with David and then I maybe just have a bite to eat and maybe just stretch out and rest before the next session." That's a hypothetical. You're talking about hypothetically what you would do in a couple hours from now. And I've told this story hundreds of times. When I was a child, I would get all wrapped up into outcomes and rooting for certain sports teams and rooting for certain outcomes. And my grandfather would always raise his finger and laugh at me and say, "Ha, if," largest word in the English language. And I would just look at him, "What?" And he would say, "If," largest word in the English language. If is a hypothetical, if only. If my life were different, if I had more of this or less of that, if I had a different partner, a different life situation, a different job, if is basically the ego's plan of salvation. If only something in form would change, I would be happy. If only something in time or space would change, I would be happy. That's the ego's plan of salvation. That's really its plan to keep you stuck in time and space. It doesn't have anything to do with eternity or true salvation that Jesus is teaching. But if something were different, I would be happy. It always puts the cause on the scenario or the image or the person or the place or the worldly condition, as if the world is causative and as if my peace of mind, my happiness, my joy is dependent on circumstances. Peace of mind is not circumstance dependent. Happiness is not circumstance dependent. Happiness depends on the purpose that you hold in your mind. Happiness depends on the thoughts you're thinking. It has nothing to do with the images or the circumstances that you're perceiving. I can't say that enough, in the sense that everything that is perceived, you will never find that joy or happiness or peace in circumstances, because happiness is not circumstance dependent. God's will for you is perfect happiness, but you were created as a happy being. Christ is a happy being. Christ is a joyful being, and you will find that eternal happiness and peace in creation. Knowing God is how you know your eternal bliss and happiness. In terms of this world, what is perceived through the five senses, we'll say, is really still the mind. The sleeping mind and the five senses perceive a world of images. And that's what Jesus calls the dream. Except he also goes on and says that what you perceive as the world of time and space and the body, since we're going beyond the body, what you perceive as the world and the body is really just a projection. It's a dream that you gave away. And then you have a secret dream in your mind that's really one with the dream you gave away, but the ego splits it up, it's sneaky, into two dreams. And you have the dream that you dream in secret and the dream that you gave away. And that's why in human experience, it's so frustrating, because it seems like the dream that you gave away, it seems like things are done to you as a person. Like in this dream that was given away, you seem to be a character surrounded by other characters and surrounded by a world of time and space. And these other characters do things physically or psychologically to this person that you think you are. And so the circumstances, it could be anything like COVID-19, it could be tsunamis or hurricanes, it could be famine, it could be climate change, it could be just your spouse, it could be your dog, it could be your cat. There always seems to be experiences in which the person is seemingly influenced or attacked or judged or harmed by something outside of the person. And even if you go to the body and you look right at the body, then you can even see it in the body, the microcosm realm of, oh, the doctor says I have cancer cells in my body, or the doctor says my heart is clogged and my arteries are clogged. Even inside the body, there seems to be forces like cancer cells or high blood pressure or things that happen that aren't even physical symptoms as seen by the five senses, but they're smaller. You know, it's not like you go, oh, I see, I've got my cancer cells right here in my hand. You know, they're tiny, they're microscopic, but it still seems to be that something in this dream is doing something to you. And it's all based on false cause and effect. As soon as you get a diagnosis of cancer, then the physician will say, well, it could be from stress, it could be from intense attack thoughts, it could be from something that seems to be external, radiation from the sun or radiation from a nuclear reactor, or catching a virus like COVID-19, or something in time and space is the cause. And this is what is characteristic of the dream that was given away. And this is that everything in the dream that was given away seems to be causative. But Jesus is saying, no, no, this dream that you're perceiving is an effect. And the ego is the cause of this dream of time and space. God did not create separation. God did not create fragmentation. God does not create anything other than eternal beings. And Christ is an eternal being. God is light and God creates in light. God is love and God creates in love. This world is a projection of the ego, and Jesus gives a clue. He says, it's the dream that you gave away. So now it seems to be happening to you. It doesn't seem to be from you. That's Jesus is telling us that's the problem. You dream a dream, and yet you've forgotten that it's a dream, so now you believe it's a reality. You believe your body's a reality, you believe the people are all real, you believe the planets are real, the stars are real, you believe the mountains and the grass, the birds and the insects, you believe all of it is real because you've forgotten that you're dreaming it. And Jesus says you don't see yourself as the image maker, because if you could see that using the power of your mind to make up this dream world was what the ego was all about, then you could see that everything that you perceive are just figures in your dream. And that's going to be what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not personal. It's not one person forgiving another person, because the persons are on the screen. They're the projection. And the mind that has forgotten that it's dreaming needs to remember that it's dreaming, because once you remember you're dreaming, you can give the world another purpose. You can actually give the world the purpose of forgiveness. You can free your mind and wake up to eternity if you're willing to exchange the ego's purpose of hatred for the Holy Spirit's purpose of forgiveness. But you can't really forgive the world until you get back into that experience of it's all in your mind. You can't make that choice for forgiveness until you get so devoted and so still that you go into your mind to find what is beyond this secret dream. What is beyond the unconscious mind? I had a prayer I thought I would read from the workbook today as we're getting ready to start. And this is from in the workbook. It's part two, the introduction. It's paragraph 5. And this is what Jesus says. Now is the time of prophecy fulfilled. Now are all ancient promises upheld and fully kept. No step remains for time to separate from its accomplishment. For now we cannot fail. Sit silently and wait upon your Father. He has willed to come to you when you have recognized it is your will He do so. And you could have never come this far unless you saw, however dimly, that it is your will. I am so close to you, we cannot fail. So, the secret dream is what we're going to talk about today. Because if you have something in your unconscious mind that you're not aware of, then it doesn't matter how many affirmations you say as a person. It doesn't matter what actions you do as a person or what actions you avoid doing as a person. Until you get in touch with the unconscious guilt, the unconscious belief in linear time, the unconscious belief that cause and effect are separate and turned around, until you can come back far enough in the mind and actually see what's going on in this secret dream, then you will simply feel yourself at the mercy of something that you don't know what it is. And that's what the unconscious mind is. Carl Jung talked about it. He called it the shadow. Psychologists have talked about it now for decades. They say there's an unconscious aspect of the mind, and Jesus actually calls the unconscious the unwatched mind. It's out of awareness, and yet it determines everything that you perceive in this world. Everything. It generates a private world of private thoughts in which there seems to be a subject or a perceiver. We'll call it the human being, a person, and then there seems to be an objective world outside of that human being that involves time and space. So you seem to be, as long as you have this secret dream going, and this secret dream is the belief in the ego, then you perceive a world in which there's a you, a personal you, and then a vast time-space world, a cosmos outside of that personal self. And there is no way that you can choose your way out as a person. In other words, sometimes you think, I'm a person and I've got to just make the right choices, I've got to make all the right moves, make all the right decisions, learn how to be a holy person. Jesus is like saying, no, it's not going to work. You won't ever be able to escape the dream, even trying to be a holy person, because you will still perceive the decisions as personal decisions inside of time and space, and the decision that will set you free is not inside the dream. It's in the mind. It's not in the dream. And so when you try to make these decisions, if you follow the Holy Spirit's guidance, those seeming decisions that involve being a person in time and space will reflect the guidance you receive in your mind. But they're nothing more than reflections. People don't decide. It's the mind that has decided it's separate from God, and it believes it's separate from God. And now it's using the people, the bodies, as like toys. Jesus talks about this in the text, where the bodies are like puppets, they're like toys, and all of the thoughts that you think, and all of the beliefs that you hold get projected onto these toys. And that's why it seems like there's saints and sinners. There's these beautiful, lovely, peaceful people, and then there's these, you know, dictators or tyrants, and everything in between. And basically Jesus is saying, the world that you see is your thoughts, everything you think, but you're so afraid of your mind, you're so afraid of the power of your mind, and you're so afraid of the power of thought that it's projected, the ego projects it out as if it's happening in an external world, when really everything that you perceive as the external world is basically just your consciousness. And it's all selective. If you believe in war, you can perceive war. If you believe in competition, you can perceive competition. If you believe in birth and death, guess what? These characters will act out your belief in birth and death. But the world is neutral. It's simply the reflection of the ideas and the thoughts that you hold in consciousness. And that's why there's no escape. It's just a teaching learning device. You're not going to find escape in the world. You're going to find escape in your mind by forgiving the world, by finding your purpose of forgiveness. One more thing to set this movie up is, no, I couldn't possibly say it better than Jesus in A Course in Miracles. He's got a section in chapter 27, toward the end, very end of chapter 27. And yeah, if you really want a context for what I'm talking about, if I'm talking about things and you're going, oh, I am swimming here, this is way over my head, I think I would recommend chapter 27. If you just read The Dreamer of the Dream, which is section 7, and The Hero of the Dream, that may be Kenneth's favorite section, The Dreamer of the Dream. If you can watch his show, he'll talk about that one. But The Hero of the Dream is basically something I think you can relate to, because if you think of yourself as a person, then you very much can relate to this section that Jesus is calling the hero of the dream. I would hesitate to even watch this movie, Mr. Nobody, without a preparation, because if you just watch it like you're watching any other movie, you know, like I said, you may turn it off after 10 minutes and go, what the hell? What the hell is this movie? This is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I have seen people walk out of theaters too. But now, with Jesus Christ giving you the preparation, all of a sudden the movie can be the most glorious saving grace movie that you've ever seen in your entire life, with the right context, with the right preparation. So I'm going to read a little bit from this, just so you know, you can say, thank you, David, that was really good preparation for that movie. I'm glad I heard what Jesus had to say before I took my mind into that movie. This one's called The Hero of the Dream. The body is the central figure in the dreaming of the world. There is no dream without it, nor does it exist without the dream, in which it acts as if it were a person to be seen and believed. Don't you love it? In which it acts. So all people are actors and actresses. You remember Shakespeare? Anybody heard of Shakespeare? All the world's a stage and everybody must play their part. And here we are, Shakespeare. Shakespeare is with us right now. He is smiling on us because he's like, centuries later, we're 137 of us are going to go into what he was talking about. All the world's a stage and everyone must play their part. And here's Jesus finally telling us what's going on. What was Shakespeare talking about? There is no dream without it, the body, nor does it exist without the dream in which it acts as if it were a person to be seen and believed. So these persons are all actors and actresses. And what are they acting out? They're acting out the belief in separation, the belief that they can be apart from eternity. That's a pretty strong act, trying to act as if you're not an eternal being. It seems pretty convincing, doesn't it? Even with our dogs and cats, don't they seem like real dogs and cats to you? You know, they, and these characters, mom, dad, brother, sister, don't they seem pretty real? It's a really good act, you gotta admit. Bravo, Oscar. You get an Oscar for that one. You had me fooled. You had me fooled that you were really doing something to me, that you really liked or disliked me. I couldn't see it was my own mind. It takes the central place in every dream, which tells the story of how it was made by other bodies, born into the world outside the body, lives a little while, and dies to be united in the dust with other bodies, dying like itself. Wow, thank you, Jesus, for that summary of the human condition. That's pretty strong, Jesus. Tells the story of how it was made by other bodies. Mom and dad, okay, sex. Born into a world outside the body. Earth. Lives a little while, a number of years or decades, and dies to be united in the dust with other bodies. Oh, that's a cemetery, great. Dying like itself. You know, Jesus is casually going through and describing the human condition in one sentence. And he's like saying, This has nothing to do with you. This has absolutely nothing to do with who you are. But this is the dream that you gave away. While you're dreaming in secret that you're separate from God, this is the projected dream that your mind has identified with, and now it tells the story. Oh yeah, I was born in 1958, and yeah, my mom's name was Evelyn, dad's name was Jack. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I went to high school at Deer Park High School, and then I went to University of Cincinnati. I rooted for the Cincinnati Reds baseball team, and then I did this and this, and then suddenly, I don't know what happened, in 1986, I found this book called A Course in Miracles, and basically when I read it, it said everything I'd ever thought and believed about everything was false. About everything, human interactions, about life itself, about every single thing that seems to be in time and space, I was mistaken about the whole thing. Wow, that's a book. So I spent the next 34 years reading this book, trying to practice what it was saying in terms of how do I remember eternity? How do I forgive the world? So now this is part of my experiment. We're all 137 of us seemingly here watching this, but now Jesus is saying, no, no, you're not watching anything. This is a dream. This is all a dream, and you're the dreamer of this dream, and you've never done any of that stuff that you just said. You never did it. You know, sometimes nowadays it's like there seems to be all these swirling conspiracy theories going, you know, conspiracy theories, you know, about the pandemic, conspiracy theories about politicians and governments and secret societies and Illuminati and on and on. This morning before I came to you, Jesus was saying, yeah, everything that you believe that's going on in the dream of time and space is a conspiracy theory. Everything. What do you mean? Everything I perceive is a conspiracy theory? Yeah, he said, that's right. It's all conspiracy theory, the whole thing. And I said, what do you mean? He said, creationism. You know, in the Bible where it says God created in Genesis, Adam and Eve, he created heaven and earth. He created time and space. No. Jesus said it. The creationism in the Bible is a conspiracy theory. What about Darwin? Oh, he said, yeah, Darwin's, that's a conspiracy theory too. Evolution. God has nothing to do with evolution. God has nothing to do with time and space. How could God have anything to do with evolution? Evolution of the cells and the amoeba and the splitting of cells and then evolving to be apes and then human beings. No, he said, you know, he said Darwinism is just as false as creationism. It's both of them are conspiracy theories. What do you mean it's a conspiracy theory? He said, yeah, you're conspiring to believe you're separate from God and projecting out a dream to convince yourself that you actually did it, that you actually succeeded in being apart from God. You've got a pretty convincing dream going on there, but it's all conspiracy theory. I said, I don't know if I get that. Can you give me another example? That's so radical. Creationism is a conspiracy theory. Darwinism is conspiracy theory. He said, yeah, reincarnation. What? Reincarnation is a conspiracy theory. Reincarnation is a conspiracy theory? Yeah. You believe that you can have a soul that can incarnate in and out of form. God has nothing to do with any of that. That's another theory of thinking you can be separate from God in matter, in flesh. That to believe you can a soul or a spirit can come into form, Jesus said, that's impossible. You can't bring eternal life into time and space. You have to bring the belief in time and space to the light of truth and it will disappear. Time and space will disappear. Reincarnation is a conspiracy theory? Yep, it is. Ooh, that's radical. Can you give me one more example, maybe to help me out? This is so radical. He said, all of history as you perceive it is a conspiracy theory. History. Mom? Dad? Sister? You mean all that stuff we learn in the history books? Yeah, it's all a conspiracy theory because it's all being generated from the dream you dream in secret. It's all a hypothetical world, an as-if world, as if you actually could separate from God. That's why this world is hypothetical, because it's an as-if. As if I could separate from God. Oh, poof, time and space. Mother, father, sister, brother, human beings. Woo! All of history. Jesus says in the Course, he says, history would not exist if you didn't keep making the same mistake in the present. You're going to have to watch the replay to take that one in. History would not exist if you didn't keep making the same mistake in the present. Why is the holy instant so important? It's because that present moment is our gateway to eternity. Jesus says the present moment is the closest approximation of eternity that the world offers. So when we watch this movie today, we're going to be zooming in toward the holy instant. We're going for the glory. We're going for awakening. We're going for enlightenment. We're going for self-realization. We're not talking about meditating for 20 years, 15 hours a day for 20 years, because that's all looking for future escape from what is a present cause that we must face. The ego has already been overlooked by the Holy Spirit, so Jesus is saying, it's not going to take you time to wake up, but it does take your willingness. It does take your desire to know your Creator, to forgive. And that's why Jesus says in the immediacy of salvation section in the Course, he says, be not content with future happiness, for it is not your just reward, for you have cause for freedom now. And he goes on to say in the same section, he says, future fear is not your concern. Your real dread is present joining. Wow, your real dread is present joining. Maybe he's trying to tell us that we're so afraid of love because we believe that we betrayed love. We believed somehow. We just believed it. It's not real. We believed that we betrayed God. We betrayed love. We believe, maybe we could say that we betrayed our powerful mind and now we're afraid of the mind because the mind is so powerful. It was created by God and now we're afraid of it. And now it's easier to play small and project our fear of love onto the body and onto the world and other people than to go inside and face our innocence, to face our divinity. And I love it. I watched the session last night. I could tell that's what was beneath your questions was like, how can I get in touch with this fear that I don't even understand? And the reason it's not understandable is because it's the dream you dream in secret. It's out of awareness. But today we're going to go right at that dream that you dream in secret. We're going right toward the belief in separation so you can pierce through it to the atonement, to the correction for this entire dream. In the brief time allotted it to live, it's talking about the body, it seeks for other bodies as its friends and enemies. Its safety is its main concern. It tries to look for pleasure and avoid the things that would be hurtful. Above all, it tries to teach itself its pains and joys are different and can be told apart. The dreaming of the world takes many forms because the body seeks in many ways to prove it is autonomous and real. It puts things on itself. Blue shirt. It puts things on itself that it has bought with little metal disc or paper strips. The world proclaims as valuable and real. Oh, he's talking about currencies, money. The world proclaims as valuable and real. God doesn't proclaim that money is valuable and real, but the world proclaims the money is valuable and real. It works to get them. It works to get them, the money, the bills, the paper strips and metal discs. It works to get them doing senseless things and tosses them away for senseless things it does not need and does not even want. It hires other bodies that they may protect it and collect more senseless things that it can call its own. Ah, possession, ownership. It looks about for special bodies that can share its dream. Sometimes it dreams it is a conqueror of bodies weaker than itself, but in some phases of the dream, it is the slave of bodies that would hurt and torture it. The body's serial adventures from time of birth to dying are the theme of every dream the world has ever had. The, quote, hero of this dream will never change, nor will its purpose. Though the dream itself takes many forms and seems to show a great variety of places and events wherein its hero finds itself, the dream has but one purpose, taught in many ways. This single lesson does it try to teach again and still again and yet once more, that it, the dream, is cause and not effect, and you are its effect and cannot be its cause. So this whole dream, every day you wake up and you face another day, the purpose of this dream, this linear dream, is to teach you one thing, that you are at the mercy of the dream, that the dream can make you feel sad, the dream can make you feel hurt, the dream can make you feel weak, the dream can make you feel powerless. That's not the truth, but that's the ego's lesson. That's why it's using the dream to make you feel worthless. Did you ever notice sometime when you get all caught up into the mesmerism of this dream, you start to feel worthless? You start to feel tiny, insignificant. You start to feel overwhelmed. If any of you have had those feelings, it's coming from one ego lesson that the dream is the cause and who you are is the effect.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.